Deuteronomy chapter 26, and we're going to begin reading there in verse number 1, and we're actually going to read the whole chapter here this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 26 and verse number 1 says, "And it shall be, when thou art come in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possessest it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of thy earth, fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt put it in a basket, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there." Again, understand, he's talking about entering into the promised land. That God had promised them an inheritance, God had promised them a land, and they're saying here, when you enter in, when you receive what God is going to give you, then here's something that I want you to do, because of all that God has given you. Verse 3 says, "And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God, that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware or promised unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, A Syrian ready to perish was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few, and became there a nation great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. When we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with great terribleness," means awesomeness, "and with signs and with wonders. And he hath brought us into this place and hath given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which thou, O Lord, hast given me. And thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God and worship before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee and unto thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. When thou hast made an end of tithing all the tithes of thine increase the third year, which is the year of tithing, and hast given it unto the Lord, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that they may eat within thy gates and be filled, then thou shalt say before the Lord thy God, I have brought away the hallowed things out of mine house, and also have given them unto the Levite, and unto the stranger, and to the fatherless, and to the widows, according to all thy commandments, which thou hast commanded me. I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them." And actually, it doesn't describe it necessarily real plainly in those verses, but if you compare it with other places, not just the tithe that they would give unto the Lord, they actually had some things where every so often they gave additional tithes to help take care of the poor and the widow and the orphans and so on. So they were required to tithe far more than you normally think about. Okay, verse 14 says, "I have not eaten therein in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught thereof of any unclean use, nor given aught thereof for the dead. But I have hearkened to the voice of the Lord my God, and have done according to all that thou hast commanded me. Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven, and bless thy people Israel, and the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments, that thou shalt therefore keep them, and do them with all thine heart and with all thine soul. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, to hearken unto his voice. And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments, and to make thee high above all nations which he hath made, in praise, and in name, and in honor, and that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he hath spoken." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, help us now as we study your word this morning, that you would help us to have yielded hearts. May we understand your word, accept your word, believe your word, and obey your word in our lives. Please, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. The title of the message this morning is Walking in Obedience. Walking in Obedience. And I want to share with you a message this morning that you'll just love. You look forward to. No, honestly, I don't necessarily look forward to preaching these kind of messages because sometimes people get an idea of what they think preachers are. They're money grubbers, but that's not true. We're to preach the Word of God, and the Bible talks so much, honestly, about our money and resources and the things that God has given to us. And God has some expectations for us. And the truth is, part of that thing of having a life that God blesses is that we obey what God has commanded us and told us to do. And so if a preacher loves you and wants you to have a blessed life and a blessed home and a blessed family, then part of it is to teach you the things that God has said. This is what He expects us to do. This is what God wants us to do. Because walking in obedience to that is what will help you to have God's blessing in your life and in your home and in your finances and in many things. I don't preach a prosperity gospel, if you will, and a health and wealth type of gospel that if you're not healthy and you're not wealthy, then there's something wrong. You must be a sinner and you're lost and you know you're not saved. I don't preach anything like that. But I truly believe that we can have a blessed life and have God's blessing in our finances even if we'll be obedient to Him. And I want to teach you some things about it this morning. God expects believers to give Him the tithe. If you'll turn with me to Malachi, we're going to come back to Deuteronomy, and that will really be the focus of the message, to be honest. But I want to just show you these verses in Malachi quickly. Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 7. God expects believers, if you're a believer in Christ, God expects us to give Him the tithe. The tithe is the first tenth of all our increase, the first tenth of all our income and profits, and we're to give it back to the Lord. That's what we would call tithing. God also expects us to give Him offerings. Offerings are that amount which we would just maybe choose to give back because God lays it on our heart, or we want to choose to express our love and thankfulness to the Lord. And we give offerings to thank God for many things. For example, why do we give? We give because we want to thank God for giving us His Son. Aren't we thankful? We're thankful that God gave us His Son and let His Son come and die on the cross for us, and He's given us the gift of salvation. We give offerings to thank God for our needs being met, or to thank Him for the children that He's given us, or to thank Him for the many blessings we have received from His hand. That was very typical with God's people. Even what I mentioned about children, you read about Joseph and Mary. We know that Joseph wasn't really the father. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. But even Joseph and Mary, it speaks of them, right? How they brought an offering. It was the custom. They brought an offering. When God gave them a child, there was always an offering that was given as a thank you to God for you've given us a child. And there's many reasons to give an offering unto the Lord. But notice what it says here in Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 7. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. So in other words, you've not been obeying what I asked you to do. He says, return unto me and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? What are you talking about, God? Where is it that we've walked away from you? Where is it that we've not been keeping your ordinances or your commands? And God answers them, verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? God's answer is, in tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. We'll look back to the book of Deuteronomy, if you would, but we see that God said to them that you've not been walking in my ways. You've not kept my ordinances. You've gone another way, and I want you to return unto me and walk in my ways. Walk in obedience in bringing the tithes and offerings unto the Lord. We must be obedient to God in bringing Him our tithe, the first tenth, and our offerings. Again, let's look at the book of Deuteronomy. And I want to teach you just point by point some basic Bible principles from this chapter in relation to tithing and our offerings and so on. Point number one this morning is this. We should bring our tithe and offerings to the place where God has appointed. I'm going to give you 8 points. I hope you'll have a listen with a good spirit and a spirit that wants to learn, and I think you'll enjoy them. We should bring our tithe and offerings to the place where God has appointed. Again, notice in verse 2, it said that thou shalt take the first of all the fruit of the earth, the first fruits, in other words, which thou shalt bring of the land of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and thou shalt put it in a basket, and thou shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. For them, very specifically, he said, I want you to gather up the tithe. I want you to gather up the first fruits of all the increase in that land. And I'm going to appoint a place. I'm going to give you a place. I'm going to show you a place where I want you to bring those first fruits. Where I want you to bring that tithe. We think of, in the Old Testament, Bethel, meaning the house of God, as a place where we see in some other scriptures, people brought their tithe to. They brought it to Bethel, meaning the house of God. The Bible also refers to Bethel as a place. And there was a pillar that ended up being set up in Bethel. And it was called El Bethel, even the God of the house of God. And that pillar was very significant. We come to the New Testament, we think about the local New Testament church. In the book of Timothy, the Bible talks about the local church as being the pillar and ground of the truth. The pillar is set up. The local New Testament church, the house of God. And I believe that in our New Testament age, for us as believers and followers of Christ, that local New Testament church is the place. It's the place that God has chosen. In 1 Corinthians 16:2, the Bible says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And Paul was referring to a specific offering that the people in the church had promised that they were going to give. But Paul told them, he was in writing the letter to the Corinthians, he said, I want you to make sure to remember that on the first day of every week, the day when you gather, the day when you assemble, I want you to make sure that you bring into the storehouse that offering that you had committed to give. Listen, if that's what Paul recommended for that offering, it's doesn't it make sense too that's likely how they gave their tithe and gave their offerings, was bringing it to the storehouse, bringing it to that place on the Lord's Day, on the first day of every week, where they gave God the first fruits of all that they had. They were to give offerings according to how God had prospered them and according to how God had blessed them. So it was by an equality that maybe if some had prospered more, for them their giving would be maybe seem greater to some, but in reality it was just in proportion. It was an equality of giving for all, and they gave proportionately as God had blessed them. But we see first a place that God has set to bring the tithe. Second thing this morning, number two, tithing is an expression of thanks. Tithing is an expression of thanks for God's salvation. Go back to Deuteronomy 26 and verse number 8. And I'll quote you some other verses, but it'll probably be, you can turn if you like, but maybe easiest for you just to stay there, because for each point we'll come back to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 26 and verse number 8. The Bible says, and the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and with an outstretched arm, and with great terribleness, and with signs, and with wonders. Listen, God brought their salvation. And to those of you who you know the Bible better, and know the stories of the Bible better, and you know the history of the people of Israel, that bringing them out of bondage and bringing them out of slavery in Egypt is an awesome picture of how God brings us out of bondage. God brings us out of the slavery to sin. And God has brought salvation to us. That was very significant for the nation of Israel. That was their salvation. God bringing them out of Egypt, leading them through the wilderness, and eventually giving them the promised land, their inheritance. It signifies salvation. And they were told in Deuteronomy, that bringing of the tithe, that's significant. Why? Because you're going to express your thanks for God's salvation, for what God has done for you. Truly, we are the ones who have received the greatest gift of salvation ever. Think about it. God's only begotten Son left heaven and came down to earth. He took all of our sin upon Himself and died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. He died there to save us from death and hell and to redeem us unto God and to give us the gift of eternal life. That's something to be thankful for. Don't we have something so rich and wonderful that we ought to give thanks to the Lord for? How thankful are you? We prove our love and we prove our thankfulness to God by our giving. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8 and 9, it says this: I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness, that means the example of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. Again, it talks about our Lord and what He did for us. He became poor so we could be rich. He left heaven and came down to earth. Why? So that we could go to heaven. He who was perfect took on all of our sin upon Himself. Why? So that we could one day be sinless and perfect and glorified, sanctified. We have so much to be thankful for. Christ proved His love for us on Calvary. And we can prove our love for Him by our giving. 1 John says we love Him because He first loved us. Paul challenged them there in Corinthians to prove the sincerity of our love by their giving. Paying our tithe and giving our offerings unto the Lord is an expression of thankfulness and gratitude. It's an expression of love. There was a man who was away on a business trip, and when he was going to come home, he thought, I should bring a gift back for my wife, and so she knows that I love her, and so on. And so he actually stopped at one of these little shops in the airport and said, what do you got? You got some perfume maybe I can bring back for my wife. And the lady, the clerk there in the shop, showed him a $100 bottle of perfume. He said, oh, that's too much. And so she, you got something else. And so she brought him out. Here was a bottle of perfume that was a little bit smaller, and about $50. He said, oh, that's too much. You got something smaller? And she brought back another bottle of perfume that cost $20. And he said, oh, that's still kind of too much. You got something really cheap? And so she reached down and she held up a mirror to him. Held up a mirror to him. Hey, your giving is a good indicator of your love. It's an expression of love. An expression of your thanks and your gratitude unto the Lord. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Heard that before? It's true, isn't it? You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. A loving heart will give unto the Lord. I said this, number one, we should bring our tithe and offerings to the place where God has appointed. Number two, tithing is an expression of thanks for God's salvation. Number three, tithing is a way to worship the Lord. Tithing is a way to worship the Lord. Notice what it said in verse 10. Deuteronomy 26:10. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, the tithe of the land, which thou, O Lord, hast given me. And thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and worship before the Lord thy God. The word worship really describes giving to God what He deserves. How we worship the Lord is an indicator of what God is worth to us. Can I ask you, can I ask myself the question honestly, how much is God worth to you? How much is God worth to us? How much does it mean to you when you think of all that God has done for you? How much reverence and respect do you and I really have for the Lord? Will we give God what He's worth? Will we give God what He truly deserves? It may be hard to kind of judge. Well, how can you say exactly what God is worth? But I believe that He is worthy of our best. That ought to be an obvious. He's worthy of our best. Why? He gave us His very best. Didn't God give us His best by giving us His Son? Well, didn't Christ give us His best by willingly laying down His life on the cross, the Bible says? He willingly gave His life for us. I read a story involving the Butterball Turkey Company. They set up a hotline to answer people's questions about how they could prepare their turkeys for Thanksgiving time. One woman called in to ask about if it would be okay to cook a turkey that had been in her freezer for 23 years. The operator told her it might be safe if the freezer had been kept below 0 degrees the entire time for 23 years. But the operator warned the woman that even if it were safe, the flavor of the turkey had probably really deteriorated and you wouldn't necessarily like it, wouldn't recommend eating it. And the caller replied, "Oh, that's what we thought. We'll just give it to the church." That's what we thought. We'll just give it to the church. Listen, people's giving is a means of worshiping the Lord. People nowadays think that, you know, worship is just singing and clapping your hands and raising your arms in the air and swaying to some music. But you know what? The Bible teaches us a lot of other kinds of worship, and giving is a means of worship in the Bible. Bringing our tithes and offerings unto the Lord is one of the greatest means of worshiping Him. We ought to give in a way that shows God, "God, this is how much You mean to me. God, this is what You're worth to me. God, this is how much I value you. This is how important You are to me." We ought to give Him our best. I said this, number one, we should bring our tithe and offerings to the place where God has appointed. Number two, tithing is an expression of thanks for God's salvation. Number three, tithing is a way to worship the Lord. And number four, tithing is a way to rejoice in and remember all the blessings and good things the Lord has given us. That's a long one if you're writing it down. But tithing is a way to rejoice in and remember the blessings and good things the Lord has given us. In Deuteronomy 26, there in verse 11, it says, "And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee, and unto thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you." You know, tithing was a way where they counted the blessings of the Lord in their life. We don't always grasp that or understand that like we should, but that's really what it was for them. J. Oswald Sanders said this, "The basic question is not how much of our money we should give to God, but how much of God's money we should keep for ourselves." You know what? Tithing will help you to count your blessings when you consider all your increase and then give the Lord the tithe or the first fruits of all that He's given unto us. Honestly, that's in God's intention. I believe we see that in that verse because they're rejoicing in all the increase and all the good things that the Lord has given them. There's another passage that we could look at it as well. Then God teaches them that they learn to fear the Lord by counting their blessings in their life. When we consider God's increase, when we consider all that God has done for us, and then tithe from that, we'll be reminded of God's goodness. We'll think about His goodness. We'll thank Him for His goodness and praise Him and rejoice in that. Why? Because we'll be, as a Christian, we'll have the attitude, "I'm going to take this thing seriously of tithing all the increase and all the good things that God has given me, all that God has blessed me with." If we have to actually figure it out, okay, God has given me this, and God has given me this, and God has given me this, and now I'm going to tithe from that. It's a way of rejoicing in and thinking about, God has done a lot for me. I do have so much. I do live in a land that flows with milk and honey. I am very, very blessed. And all of us are. No matter how much or how little you may think you have, we have much compared to many people in the world. And we ought to think about our blessings and think about the good things that we have and thank the Lord for it. Rejoice in it. Remember His blessings. Remember the good things that He has given us. Proverbs 3:9 says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase." I said this, number one, we should bring our tithe and offering to the place where God has appointed. Number two, tithing is an expression of thanks for God's salvation. Number three, tithing is a way to worship the Lord. Number four, tithing is a way to rejoice in and remember all the blessings and the good things that the Lord has given us. And then number five, obedient tithing is a recognition that the tithe and offerings that the Lord expects are hallowed or holy or set apart unto the Lord. When you're obedient in your giving, it's a recognition that, you know what? The tithe, it is holy. It is something that is to be hallowed. It is something that is to be set apart unto the Lord. Notice what it says there in verse 13, Deuteronomy 26:13. Then shalt thou say before the Lord thy God, I have brought away the hallowed things out of mine house, and have also given them unto the Levite, and unto the stranger, and to the fatherless, and to the widow, according to all thy commandment which thou hast commanded me. I have not transgressed, or I have not disobeyed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. Notice he said that the hallowed things, I brought the hallowed things out of mine house. Here was God's people recognizing that, you know what? There are some things here that they're hallowed. They're holy. They're set apart unto the Lord. Oh, you think I work a job and I make this money and I have all this and this is all mine. No, God says it's all mine if we study the Bible, and I've given it to you. And I want you to recognize that I've commanded you to bring a tithe. That which, yes, it's in your house. Yes, it may have your name on a bank account. Yes, and that, you know, you think of it as yours. But that which is in your house, there's a tithe. There's a part of it that it's supposed to be hallowed. It's supposed to be holy. It's set apart unto the Lord. It's His. When we're obedient and faithful in our tithing, it's a recognition that the tithe and offerings that the Lord expects from us are hallowed or holy or set apart unto the Lord. All we have is truly from the Lord. But He asks us and expects us to give our tithe and offerings back to Him. There's a true story that's told of a church that was located out on the prairies. And one day the church treasurer resigned, and they were discouraged in the job because, you know, the church had a lot of debt and finances were struggling. And the church decided, well, we're going to ask the manager of the local grain elevator, somebody that they all trusted and they knew, and they, because it was a farming community, people that they, that someone they worked with and trusted, they said, we're going to ask him to maybe take that position of church treasurer and make sure that the finances are okay. And he agreed to be the church treasurer and to take care of the finances under two conditions. First, that no treasurer's report would be given out for the first year. After a year, he would give them a report. And then secondly, that no questions were to be asked about the finances during those 12 months. He would agree to it under that condition. The people were surprised, but they agreed. They knew that they trusted this man. They did business with him. They knew he was an honest man. At the end of the year, he gave his financial report to the church. The church debt of $228,000 had been totally paid off that year. The pastor's salary had been increased by 8%. The missions giving of the church had been doubled during that year. There were no outstanding bills, and there was now a cash balance of $11,252 in the church bank account. All those things doubled and debt paid off, all of those things within 1 year. The congregation, they were shocked. How in the world did that happen? And they asked him, how did you do it? Where did the money come from? And he quietly answered them, many of you bring your grain to my elevator. Throughout the year, I simply withheld 10% on your behalf, and I gave it to the church in your name. You didn't even miss it. Do you see what we could do for the Lord if we were all willing to give at least the tithe to God who really owns it? And the new treasurer had made his point. We should bring our tithe and offerings to the place where God has appointed. We said, number two, tithing is an expression of thanks for God's salvation. Are we thankful for God's salvation? Number three, tithing is a way to worship the Lord. Number four, tithing is a way to rejoice and remember the blessings and good things the Lord has given us. Number five, obedient, faithful tithing is a recognition that the tithe and offerings that the Lord expects, that they are hallowed. They are holy. They are set apart unto the Lord. Number six, tithing shows obedience to not touch or steal from what belongs to God. Tithing shows obedience to not touch or steal from what belongs unto God. Look what it says in verse 14. verse 14. It says, I have not eaten thereof in my mourning. This which I'm bringing to you now, it was that which was hallowed and holy and set apart. It is the tithe. In times where I was hungry, I didn't eat from it. I didn't take from it. I left it. I knew it was yours, God. I didn't steal from it. I didn't rob from it. It says, I've not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught thereof for any unclean use. Why? Because it was supposed to have a holy use. It was set apart unto God. He says, nor have given aught thereof for the dead, but I have hearkened to the voice of the Lord my God, and have done according to all that thou hast commanded me. Remember what the book of Malachi said? How God's people were not obeying Him in the tithes and offerings, and said they were actually robbing God. Robbing God. They were robbing what belonged unto the Lord. When we take that which belongs to God and use it for ourselves, we are not just stealing money. We are robbing from God. We're committing a crime almost. You know, robbery is a serious thing. He uses that word robbery in the book of Malachi. You know, it's not just a little theft and, you know, somebody goes and steals some candy or steals something from someone without. When you think of robbery and in our criminal justice, if robbery was the crime, it'd be something much more serious. Or maybe somebody broke, you know, breaking and entering into a home, and maybe even there was a threat of violence towards people that were in that home and they robbed from them. It's a serious thing. We ought to walk in obedience and not rob God of that which belongs to Him. Tithing shows obedience to not touch or steal from what belongs to God. Quickly, number 7. Tithing affirms and declares that you belong to God. Tithing affirms and declares that you belong to God. Look what it says in verse 17. It says, thou hast avouched. Well, we'll define what that means. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God and to walk in His ways and to keep His statutes and His commandments and His judgments and to hearken unto His voice. The word avouch means to declare, to affirm, to acknowledge as one's own. The word avouch means to declare, to affirm, to acknowledge as one's own. You know what? When a person gives their tithes and offerings unto the Lord, it declares two things, I believe. First, it acknowledges what belongs to God and what belongs to me. It affirms, it declares, it acknowledges, this is what belongs to God and this is what belongs to me. Why? Because a Christian who will give God the tithe that he commands and he expects, we're saying, I understand, I'm to be obedient to God. This is His and this is mine. This is His and this is mine. We're acknowledging what belongs to Him and what belongs to me. But secondly, it declares or affirms that you belong to God. It affirms or declares that you belong to God. Why? Because somebody that doesn't belong to God, somebody that doesn't care less about God, why would they be concerned with tithing? Why would they be concerned with honoring the Lord with their substance? Why would they be concerned with putting the Lord first in life? Listen, it was to be a characteristic of God's people that as they it avouched them, He's our God. He's our God. It was a declaration of that. Of course that's why I tithe, because He's God and this is His and this is mine. It declares or affirms that you belong to God. Listen, my life is not mine. It's the Lord's. We're bought with a price, the Bible says. My life is not mine, it's the Lord's. Your life is not supposed to be yours, it's the Lord's. My possessions are not mine, they're the Lord's. My money is not really mine, it's the Lord's. It's the Lord's. I read the story of a man who learned a lesson as a little boy in Sunday school. A lesson that he would never forget. This is what he wrote. True story. Mrs. Bowman was a Sunday school class teacher in my fifth grade class. One morning she brought a pan of brownies to our class. As the brownies sat tantalizing over by her chair, she gave to each child a slip of paper marked with a household expense. One said house payment, and one said car payment, and one said, you know, phone bill and credit card and entertainment and all these different things. He said, my piece of paper had car payment written on it. Before long, Mrs. Bowman picked up the tray of fresh brownies and began naming the expenses on the pieces of paper. When she said the expense, when she called out that expense, then that boy could come up and give his piece of paper to the teacher in class and kind of redeem the paper. She gave the paper and the boy got, she cut out the boy a brownie. And she did that and she called out the names. And finally, the last brownie had disappeared. But there was one boy named Donald that still held his piece of paper. And the teacher called out, God. And little boy rushed up and came forward hoping that the teacher had one more brownie somewhere. And she just calmly, she took her, you know, spatula there, whatever, and she tried to scrape the pan and took the crumbs from that pan and gave those crumbs to the little boy. The man said, I think he got a pretty raw deal. Got the crumbs. The teacher went on and explained to us, the brownies, they represent your money. If you don't give God His share right away, He probably won't get anything at all, except maybe some crumbs or leftovers. We never forgot that illustration from our fifth grade Sunday school class. It was the day my friend Donald got only brownie crumbs. And I learned that God should have first rights to everything I have. In the years since, when I've struggled with giving and priorities, I've always remembered that crummy Sunday school lesson and how Donald got just the crumbs. And I know who must come first in my life. That story illustrates how God must feel with some of the offerings that He receives. Instead of God getting our first fruits, God often just gets our last. He maybe gets the leftovers. Instead of getting the tithe, He often gets the leftovers. Instead of getting our best, too often He gets just the crumbs that remain. He gets whatever is just left after we've spent all that He has given us. If you can imagine how awful Donald would have felt that day in his Sunday school class when he got just the crumbs and everybody else got a nice chocolate brownie. Maybe you can try to imagine how God would feel when He gets the crumbs. I said this. We're almost through. Number one, we should bring our tithe and offerings to the place where God has appointed. What's that place? I believe it's the local church. Some people don't like it, but I believe I could really prove to you. If you sat down with an honest eye, I could prove to you from the Bible that the local church ought to be that place. Secondly, tithing is an expression of thanks for God's salvation. We ought to express our love, express our gratitude. Number three, tithing is a way to worship the Lord. It's how we show God what He's worth to us. It's how we show God that what He means to us. Number four, tithing is a way to rejoice in and remember all the blessings and good things the Lord has given us. Number five, obedient tithing is a recognition that the tithe and offerings that the Lord expects are hallowed and holy and set apart unto the Lord. Number six, tithing shows obedience to not touch or not steal what belongs to God. Number seven, tithing affirms and declares that you belong to God. My life's not mine, it's God's. My possessions are not mine, they're God's. And then number eight, last, God will affirm and declare your obedience by blessing you for your obedience in bringing the tithes and offerings unto Him. God will affirm, God will declare your obedience by blessing you for your obedience in bringing the tithes and offerings unto Him. Notice these verses. Verse 18 first. It says, and the Lord hath avouched thee this day. The Lord hath avouched thee this day to be His peculiar people, as He hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all His commandments, and to make thee high above all the nations which He hath made, praise and name and in honor. The Bible says in another place, them that honor me will I honor. God was going to honor them and bless them because of their obedience. They identified with the Lord through their tithing. They were vouching that He's mine. He's my Lord and I'm His and all that I have is His. But God also says, I will avouch you that you're mine. And I will honor you and I will bless you and so on, that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God. And go back to verse 15 as well. Verse 15, look down from thy holy habitation from heaven and bless thy people Israel in the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey. God did bless them with a bountiful land, a blessed land. And they had so many blessings as listen, you cannot deny it in history that God has incredibly blessed the Jewish race. Incredibly blessed them. How many of the smartest people in the world too have been Jewish people? How many incredible inventors and people that have invented cures and discovered so many things have been Jewish people? God has blessed them. When they practice God's principles and obey what God has commanded, God will bless them. And it's true, these principles, they apply throughout the Word of God to all of God's people. God will bless us and avouch us and honor us by blessing our obedience to Him. God will bless His people when we walk in obedience, in paying the tithe and giving our offerings unto Him. James L. Kraft was the son of a Canadian farmer. And he was the founder of the Kraft Cheese Corporation. I studied some things about his life last night and realized that eventually he started a whole bunch of things and made a whole lot of things that we use nowadays. But after, when he was a younger man, and after he had given approximately 25% of his enormous income to Christian causes, he said this: "The only investment I ever made which has paid consistently increasing dividends is the money that I've given to the Lord." He grew up in the Niagara region, son of a farmer, a Mennonite family background, ended up in the States being a part of a Baptist church. But he was a giver and a man that God abundantly blessed. There's many examples like that. I read another story about a Christian family in the States that had a farm and they didn't have any health insurance. And the wife began having heart problems and had to be hospitalized and had to take several trips to the emergency room. And of course, in the States, and you don't have insurance back in the day, that could have been incredibly expensive, the bills and so on. The medical bills ended up totaling as much as their yearly income on the farm would normally be. However, they continued to pay their tithe and just paid the hospital bills one at a time as they came in. And at the end of the year, all the bills, all the hospital bills, all of that were all paid. And they discovered when the end of the year came, and really they could look back and see how the firm had done and how it produced, they discovered that God had doubled their farm income from the previous year. Even though they were going through a time of difficulty, as they continued to honor the Lord through that, God blessed them for it. And God will bless His people when we give our tithes and offerings unto Him. Giving is an expression of our thanks. It's a way we worship. It's a way we rejoice in and remember His blessings. It's how we recognize that there's something that's hallowed. There's something that's holy. It's set apart. It's how we show obedience by, I'm not going to touch that. I'm not going to take from it. That's His. It affirms and declares that you belong to God. And you understand what belongs to God and what belongs to you. When you do all that, God will affirm and declare your obedience by blessing you for your obedience and bringing your tithe and offerings unto Him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father,